お聞きの放送は SBS の日本語放送です。詳しくは SBS 日本語放送のホームページ sbs.com.au/japanese へどうぞ。
You're listening to the SBS Japanese podcast, Bilingual Chit Chat, and I'm your host, Yumi Oiba. In this series, we speak with people of Japanese heritage, as well as those with a deep connection to Japan, about identity, creativity, culture, and life across languages. Our guests share their stories in the language they feel most at home in, making each conversation personal, honest, and uniquely their own. Today's guests, Kate and Cameron, know a thing or two about creativity. As passionate cosplayers, they've transformed their love of Japanese pop culture into an art form. And this year, they'll be representing Australia at the World Cosplay Summit. But for them, cosplay is about much more than just costumes.
Being that nerd in high school where you felt like you didn't belong or you felt like you didn't have any friends, and then finding a hobby where you just get to have fun. It's a creative outlet.
Cosplay is short for costume play. Born in Japan, it has become a global creative phenomenon, bringing together fans of anime, manga, games and popular culture through costume making, performance and storytelling. For many, like Kate and Cameron, it's also about finding a sense of community and belonging. This year, the pair will represent Australia at the World Cosplay Summit, one of the world's most prestigious cosplay competitions held annually in Japan.
We've represented Queensland in nationals. I've represented Queensland twice, and then we've represented it together once in finals in Australia. But this is the first time going international and representing Australia.
It's definitely been on my bucket list ever since I found out what the World Cosplay Summit actually was. Yeah, it's a kind of a dream come true, really, to be heading over.
And I guess for the people who's not really familiar with this cosplay industry, what exactly do you have to do on the stage? What's the process?
So for the World Cosplay Summit specifically, you have to make your costumes and then come up with a 2.5 minute skit performance. And that's basically, you know, voice acting, backing video, the teams all sort that out themselves.
So I guess this is different to what you did at the Smash convention, which gave you the selection.
Yeah, that's right. The Zelda costumes that we did for the preliminary round was kind of an idea that we'd been cooking up since 2019. And then when we won the preliminary round last year, we were kind of ready to move on and do something a bit more lighthearted and fun. Also, as part of our Zelda skit, Cameron had made this huge ghost creature, which just would have been a logistical nightmare to transfer from Australia to Japan. So,
and especially because Japan at the moment obviously is in summer, being in the Northern Hemisphere, there were so many layers in those costumes that even just transporting them would have been so tiring and would have worked up a big sweat.
You guys have other repertoires or characters or?
Yeah, so we have for the competition where we are getting judged, we're doing Team Rocket, but then we have had to create 3 additional sets of costumes, one to meet the governor of Nagoya, one for the red carpet opening of the WCS event, and then one for, it's called the Osu Parade, where it's a parade of cosplayers featuring each of the representatives from the over 40 countries that are competing, parading through a shopping district in Nagoya. So we're doing Danganronpa for meeting the governor, Komaeda and Sonia. Then for the parade, we're doing Mario and Peach, which we have a little Peach's yukata from one of her games. And then for the red carpet, we're doing One Piece, Bon Clay and Vivi.
That's amazing. And I guess you create all these costumes yourself. Yeah. How is the cost of living? Is it affecting this creativity, like for you and for the industry?
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty hard. We have tried to, where we can, use materials that we have on hand, but we have had to spend quite a lot of money, particularly for prelims, purchasing all of the materials. And then, of course, if you make a mistake, you want it to be as good as it possibly can be. So you kind of need to, where you can't unpick and start again, come in with new fabric. So the cost of living definitely has made cosplay and buying new materials quite difficult.
Yeah, it filters into kind of every step of the creative process for it,
Totally.
unfortunately. Whether it be, as we said with the skit video, we need to create a backing video. So having a computer that can process and render video editing, obviously the cost of RAM and computer parts have gone up.
Making music for it if you want to go down that path. And then of course you can outsource things for your backing video, but then if you're outsourcing, obviously you're paying people for their time, and those people are also being affected by the cost of living crisis. So it kind of all stacks up in every aspect.
Yeah, even just down to shipping of items from overseas. If we need a, we have quite a few feathers on one of our costumes, and getting those shipped over, just the shipping was crazy
Pretty
expensive.
crazy.
Yes, I can imagine. And can I ask both of you, how did you first get into this art of cosplay?
My best friend was watching anime and she was kind of getting me into it. And then one day in math class, she started talking about how she was going to this convention and I should totally come with. And we threw together some cosplays of our favorite characters at the time, who were Liz and Patty from Soul Eater, for anyone that knows that series. And they were closet costumes, really, really simple, but we just had the absolute best time, and it was kind of a slippery slope from there.
And then mine was actually the same year. Kate and I met
We did,
our first time
at this
cosplaying.
convention.
So I went to Supernova for the first time in 2006 with some family friends. I got invited along because they knew I loved everything nerdy, anime and geeky. So I went along with them, saw everyone dressed up. But it took another 4 years for me to kind of get the courage to order my first costume, which was also from Soul Eater, Justin Law. And I bleached my hair by myself, so it was nice and brassy with still brown roots. My weapon was made out of an Oreo box, but had the best time. And from then onwards, it was so addictive, just the whimsy of it all, that didn't really stop.
And there's also such a community element to it. It's actually, I can't believe I forgot that that was the convention that we met at, like from the same series. It really brings people together. You find people who are like-minded and also super excited to be, making weapons out of Oreo boxes, or, for Liz and Patty, we taped lines onto a pair of jeans and called it a day. But even though it was such an entry level into cosplay, we were just both so excited to see other like-minded people.
And when you're cosplaying, is that yourself or do you actually become another character?
Ooh, good question. I think when we're just walking around a convention in our costumes, we're ourselves.
Totally, yeah.
When it comes to photo shoots, people asking for photos or for these performances, that's when we try to embody the characters. Like it's kind of fun to go like in and out of character and have a joke around with your friends. But especially when you're in public, you're kind of like really aware that everyone's around you and you aren't the main character
Yeah,
in an
really.
anime. So you have a bit of fun. You may do a couple like characterisms. But yeah, usually when you take a photo, you kind of get into character so you can hit the poses right, and when you're performing as well.
Yeah, totally.
I was at the Smash convention this year and I was amazed at the number of people that was attending. And I understand it was the biggest attendance ever. Why do you think this community is growing so much?
When we were growing up, anime was very niche.
Niche, so niche, yeah.
But I believe the only reason it was a niche is because it was hard to find and consume.
Yeah.
So we had obviously early morning TV like Toasted TV, Cheese TV that had Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh, a couple anime like that. But after that, it wasn't real. There wasn't really many things that you could rent out in Blockbuster or Video Easy. So it was quite hard to consume the media, and even just seeing merchandise of it.
Yeah.
That's why places like Supernova and Smash were so popular because you could really like this anime that just came out and nowhere in Australia would have items for it. But you knew the convention could have it. So I think just how accessible it is now.
Totally.
And everyone knows what anime is. Through like the TikTok guys or just like scrolling through and being like, oh, that's a funny clip from a show. Maybe I'll watch that.
Or even like, say the One Piece live action kind of brings people in who maybe wouldn't would otherwise not be anime fans. They see it in a live action setting and then go, oh, this was really good. I'm going to go back to the source material. And also cosplay in general has just gotten more.
Yeah.
It's way less niche than it used to be. I remember when I first started cosplaying and I would tell people, you know, that's my hobby. They'd go, what's cosplay? Like, why do you do that? And now you say, oh, I cosplay. And people go, oh yeah, I know exactly what that is. And there's kind of a reason why we had to make our props and costumes out of Oreo boxes and things like that. You couldn't really go online and buy things. Whereas now cosplay is much more popular and much more accessible. So you can jump online and buy a costume of a character.
I guess you've been to this convention many times. And what I noticed in the last Smash recently is that there was a lot of children and families and it wasn't that niche people anymore. Is that something that you've also seen over the last year?
Yeah, totally.
100%. I think a lot of people our age are having kids, or the generation above us have had kids, and their kids are quite older. So they've grown up with anime and now they are sharing it with their kids and their kids are enjoying it as well. Conventions are a great place because there's so much to do there, whether you enjoy supporting local artists and going to the artist alley, watching panels of actors that have come over, or even just the smaller panels about how to start in cosplay, the ones that are run by the communities, those panels, meeting new people, watching the cosplay competitions. There's so much to do where it becomes a full day out. So families can, you know, warrant spending the money of getting like a whole family to go to a convention because they can be there for the whole day and have something to do the entire day.
Yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And you know, people love sharing things that they enjoy with their families and their kids. I remember a few years ago, we did a Scooby-Doo cosplay group, and Scooby-Doo has been around forever. It's like three generations, you know, like, so that was kind of the most popular thing we've ever done to a convention because the kids would see it and recognize it and the parents would get excited and even the grandparents would get excited. It's so I think that the reason we're seeing so many kids is just because people really love sharing with their kids and their families.
And talking about convention, what does it mean for you to be able to attend the World Cosplay Summit?
Pretty unreal.
Surreal. Yeah. It's kind of nuts.
I don't think it'll sink in until we arrive and we start doing the processes like the visiting the governor and all our responsibilities way over there. It's exciting.
It's exciting. It's scary. It's a lot of pressure, but one of the really wonderful things about it is we've actually been in touch with most of the other countries. We're all in a big Discord server together and we really are all in it together. You know what I mean? Everyone is so nice and everyone is all feeling the same pressure and everyone is nervous and excited and everyone's been, you know, trying to get to the World Cosplay Summit. It's been a huge goal for all of them as well. So it again is kind of like meeting like-minded people. And, it's really nice knowing that all 40 countries are in it together.
I always say with competitions, especially when you're doing pre-judging, which is just you and a panel of judges or me and Kate as a team and a panel of judges, it's like you're back in grade one doing show and tell and you've brought in something that is the best thing in the world to you. It could be a shiny rock that you found on the side of the road, but you're so excited to show off this to your class. It's the same thing. It's kind of like show and tell. Like, I want to show, you know, we have 10,000 rhinestones on our costumes. I want to show off that our Meowth is a puppet because Kate has worked with puppets for the past year with Bluey's Big Play. Like, that's all the stuff that we want to just show our love of the craft and feel that love back.
Yeah,
and we always do during, like, those judging processes or meeting these new teams.
And finally, what does cosplay mean to both of you?
I think I'm still doing it purely for the community element. I really love dressing up with my friends in characters and series that we love and, you know, mucking around and going to conventions. But also now that I know how to sew and, you know, can create my own costumes, it's also a really nice creative outlet that is different to the creative outlet that I would do for work through performing. You can kind of look at a character that you really love and break it down and think, like, how would I make that? You know, what's my personal touch that I can add to this thing? And it just makes it a lot of fun, especially when you get to share that with your friends.
For me, cosplay has been the driving force since I started it that has kept me grounded, I would say. All my friends that I have now, the majority of them I've met through cosplay. I'll try not to tear up.
Yeah.
But, you know, being that nerd in high school where you felt like you didn't belong or you felt like you didn't have any friends, and then finding a hobby where you just get to have fun. It's a creative outlet, as Kate said. And you meet so many amazing people, supportive people. It's really changed my life. And today it's just a fun place to goof off with friends.
Yeah.
And it's nice to not be putting other people in costumes like I do with my work all the time. It's sometimes nice to make something for myself. But yeah, it's been a big part of my life for a positive and yeah.
Yeah.
Try not to get too sappy.
Yeah, I'm getting sappy with you just talking about that. Like, we realized the other day that we have been friends for nearly half of our lives, and it's cosplay that brought us together. So it's weird to think that if we both had not found cosplay, we would not have found each other.
Yeah.
Like, and we're like glue. Like, unfortunately, Cameron is stuck with me forever.
That is amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey, and all the best with the World Cosplay Summit.
Thank you
so much.
This was SBS Japanese Podcast, Bilingual Chit Chat. For more from SBS Japanese, head over to sbs.com.au/Japanese.
もっとストーリーをお聞きになりたい方は iTunes や Google Podcast、Spotify などでお楽しみいただけます。